God is good. God is good. All right, let's turn to Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Psalm 24, a psalm of David. The earth, Haaretz in the Hebrew, is the Lord's, Elohim, and all its fullness, everything that's on top of it, everything that issues from it, trees and so on, and everything that's built upon it, culture, everything that man does, the world, and all those who dwell therein. So the earth is the dirt, the world is the culture. For he has founded it, the earth, upon the seas, and established it upon the waters. Everything started in chaos, in darkness. The Spirit was brooding over the face of the waters, and he called forth the land and the vegetation and so on. And everything that he built upon it, it all belongs to the Lord. In other words, it's all subject to him. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? So the Lord has a hill. He brought forth this land to put a hill on it. Or who may stand in his holy place? So what God wants is a place of holiness where we may come and give him thanks, give him adoration, give him praise for what he's done, for who he is, and just to worship him in the beauty of his holiness. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Because if you're unholy, you won't stand. Here's the one. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to vanity or to lying vanities or to idols, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive, that one that has clean hands and a pure heart, shall receive blessings from the Lord, not earn them, receive them, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. We don't earn our righteousness. It's a gift of God who saves us. This is Jacob, Yaakov, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, you everlasting doors, doors that never close. Because the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? He is the Lord of hosts. The King of glory. This year, 2006, is a year of talking about the kingdom. It's a year of understanding the kingdom, and it's a year of entering into and doing the work of the kingdom. So first to hear it, then to understand it, then to do it. The easiest part is hearing. But it's vital, it's critical. Until you hear it, there's no need to understand it. First you have to hear it. You have to hear it, because this is the problem in the body of Christ today. People think they've heard, but they haven't heard. And so then they try to understand what they haven't even heard, and then they try to implement what they don't understand. The problem is we have never really heard exactly what it is that the kingdom is all about. Now, everything starts with the king himself. The king is the most important, and though I will say this to begin with, the whole purpose of the kingdom is you. The whole purpose of the king is to bless and benefit and lift up and exalt and prosper and save and protect and set free and work through you. Everything is for you, everything. But you'll have to understand the kingdom, because it's not as simple as I just said. Even though it is, it isn't. Now, I drew a diamond up here, a ring, because last week I gave you a looking from the top down view of this diamond. Now, you know that everything starts with what the Bible calls Elohim. So Elohim, this is Hebrew, Elohim. Elohim, this means the creator. God is the creator. So when God creates something, it's his privilege to define and determine and reveal the laws for it, the provisions for it, the purpose of it. Now, God has defined everything, and if you enter into anything in this world and you don't know God's definition or His intention or His purpose or His pleasure or His will, then your marriage will fail. Your life will not work. Your prosperity won't happen. Nothing's going to happen because you didn't enter in. You need to know what it is He wants. Now, you just be, you know, she's excited about that. You need to know what God wants. And here are the three things that God wants for you. First of all, perfect worship. That's the first and highest thing that we are to do, is give thanks to God. We enter His gates with, and into His courts with, and then the purpose of going in through the gates and in through the courts is not to stay there in either praise or in thanksgiving. The whole purpose is to worship then, lost to time and space, worship in His presence until everything fades. Now, this doesn't usually happen. We usually enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise, and then we quit because we're not accustomed yet to dwelling forever in God's presence. This is not our number one item. If we were to actually be honest, we would have to say that we're more concerned about our own kingdoms than His. We're more concerned about our own worship from others than His. But what God wants is not for you to be lifted up and exalted and important, because God already counts you as His beloved. Now, you don't need anyone else to notice. You don't need anyone else to say, gee, I see how wonderful you are. Because you might be disappointed. You might be disappointed because not everybody notices, but God does. God thinks you're lovely not because you really are. He thinks you're lovely because you admit you're not. Because you admit your vanity. You admit that you've failed. You admit that you didn't do what He said. You never worshiped God. You never edified the brethren. And you never did His will and testified to this lost and dying world to the point of death. Now, that's what it takes to live in the kingdom, is that you worship God with all your heart and soul and strength, and you love the brethren in such a demonstrable way that they're edified and built up, and you testify to this world to the point of death so that the world is saved, salvaged, redeemed by your good testimony. Now, though that's the case, I use this diamond to illustrate the kingdom, to show you that everything starts with God. Everything centers on God. Everything is located because God's the creator. Now, because God has three different aspects to Him, first of all, I'm going to put holiness over here. God is the Holy One. So the first thing to know about God is that His love, He is a loving Father. God is a loving Father who has created the world. And here's the way He loves us. First of all, by showing His holiness. So that's one point on the diamond. And then number two, right in the center, one of the facets, because you could make a point right down to here, is He is merciful to those who don't make it on the holiness. So if God is holy and He wants you to be holy, and we know He does, because He's revealed through His law, I'll draw a picture of the two tables of the commandments. Actually, this is not accurate at all, because they're actually two separate tables, not a table like I just drew, which are duplicates. In other words, one is for you and one is for Him, and we keep them both in His house. So in any form of documentation, when you make a covenant with somebody, both the one who makes the covenant and the other one who receives that covenant, they both have a copy. So the Ten Commandments is really twice done. Not front and back, but two separate tables. So when it says tables, it doesn't mean two tables like that. It actually means two separate tables that are both copies, or both originals in this case. Now, God graved those. He carved them out. And remember, the first time God did it with His finger, and the second time Moses had to chisel it out because he was a chiseler. And God said, I want you to write it again, but this time you do it. And don't be breaking it. You know, I want you to break my law. I don't want you to break my law because of the sin of the people. Because God in His mercy wants us to know what it is He requires of us. And so mercy, and I'm going to use a cross here as an example of God's mercy. Mercy is also another aspect of God, because He's not only the Holy One, He's the Merciful One. But not only that, God is also the Powerful One. In the Hebrew, we have gone through some of the names of Jesus, but El Gibor, the one who, once He triumphs, cannot be triumphed over. Or El Shaddai, the God who is the Shad is a breast. So it means the one who milks us and nourishes us, but also the one who is powerful as a male breast to overthrow the enemy. We need the power of God and the mercy of God and the holiness of God. But these are in order. So the power of God is the last part. Now, this is what's called the prophetic office, the prophet. The prophetic office is declaring God's love, through His law. So He declares that God demands perfection. Be ye holy as I am holy. Or be ye perfect. Or, in other words, no sin. The law allows for no sin. So He declares the law of God, the Torah. He declares the Torah. So the Torah, this in the Hebrew, Torah, this is the law of God, and the law of God is everything that God wants, everything that He intended. Here's His will, His pleasure, His heart, His intent, etc., etc., etc. Everything that God wants, He has now manifested or made known to us or revealed to us on earth to say, this Torah is what I require of all men, not just the Jewish people, but of all men everywhere. And it was spelled out because the human heart twisted it through sin, so that even though you have everybody here has a mind, but your minds don't all work. So even though you have a mind, sometimes you rationalize sin. Does anybody figure that out? So even though you could know what God wanted, for example, that He's holy and that He wants you to be holy, you could know that through your natural mind, but you would twist it. So God decided, since the human mind could know that, but would twist it, He decided to show to Moses what it was He had in mind so that it wouldn't be twisted. So He gave through Moses then what's called positive law, that is actually written down not just on your heart and in your conscience. Everybody has a mind enough to know there's a God and that he needs to serve Him. Even the atheist who says there is no God actually knows there is a God, and is saying it because he's the God that's saying it. But he knows there's a God above him. So even the atheist is lying. The fool says in his heart there's no God. He's just a fool. Why is he a fool? He's not a fool because he says there's no God. He's a fool because there is a God. And he just fooled himself by pretending that there isn't a God so he can sin. That's the only reason we don't want God, is because we want to be able to sin. And that's the reason God is God, so that you can't. So that God is a God checks your sin, your passions, your emotions, your mind, your will, your pleasure, so that only His pleasure is done, only His will is done, only His purpose is done, only His intent is accomplished. Now, how can God pull that off with us, who are His creatures, unless He helps out? That's why the third facet is up here, the power of God. We need to have God's power in order to do God's will. So telling me the law doesn't help. It only convicts me. So the more you declare the law, I just am exposed as a failure. I'm exposed. And so this way of approaching God through His law doesn't help me except to do this: repent. The only thing that God wants me to do over here is repent. He doesn't want me to say, I'll do it. Let me give it a best shot. Let me try the little engine. I think I could. He doesn't want that. What He wants us to admit is, I can't, I didn't, I won't. Say those words. I can't, I didn't, I won't. Now, if you would say that, it would help your marriage. If you would learn to say, you know what, honey, you're right. I just can't be a good wife. I just can't be a good husband. Can't be a good mom. I can't be a good anything, because only God is good. Only God is good. And it would help you to stop defending yourself all the time and say, well, you know, what do you know? You're wrong. I didn't do that at all. You know, so we always want to be innocent. How many know you're never innocent with God? There is no such thing as a victim. There are only culprits. Jesus is the only victim in the universe. Jesus is the only victim. The only one that was ever victimized was not you. No, I had a dysfunctional mother. How many know that? That is a form of victimization, but you are still a culprit. The fact that you had a dysfunctional mother is normal. That is nothing unusual. I just want you to know you deserved her. You have your own wickedness. You don't need a dysfunctional mother to bring it out. You know, my father abused me, and so on and so on. So we want to always excuse ourselves and accuse others, and you really end up accusing God, because God is the issue, not your mother, not your father, not your husband, not your wife, not your children, not your neighbor. It's you. It's always between you and God, and you're always the culprit with God. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, not against Uriah, not against Bathsheba, not against my neighbor. It's always against God. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. All of our sins stem from unbelief toward God. All of our sins, whatever sin you have, all of our sins stem from unbelief. So all disobedience arises out of unbelief. You don't start with disobedience, eating the apple. You start with not believing God, who said, don't eat of that tree. It's like, oh, I think I can. The devil said I could. You know, another voice said I could. Another authority came along and said I could. Another voice said, you know, why do you think God doesn't want you to eat of that tree? You see, only God is on your side. The devil's always a liar to destroy you. He's a thief, cometh to kill and destroy. He doesn't want you to have happiness and joy and peace. He wants you to be a slave, to be destroyed, to be oppressed. He wants you to be miserable all the time, and that's why in this church we don't allow it. You're not allowed to be unhappy. You're not allowed to be depressed. Now, if you were to look at what you've done, you could be unhappy and depressed. If you were to look at what other people have done and said and thought, you could be unhappy and depressed. But when you look at Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, you cannot be depressed. He not only created you, but he redeemed you, and he not only redeemed you, but he gave you the Holy Spirit, and not only that, you have Pastor Jim. So you are so blessed, it's beyond comprehension. I don't know why you would ever complain about anything that's ever gone on in this world, because everything, God has rigged it. All things work together for the good. Even the devil himself cannot disturb or destroy or hurt or harm you, because Jesus Christ is on the throne and all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. Now, does that mean that everything looks good? No, we don't go by our sight. Does that mean that everything appears to be good? No, we don't go by our sight. Does that mean circumstances always look like they're going my way? No, they don't look like they're always going your way, but they're going your way. Even that bad, dysfunctional mother, even that abusive father, even that unreliable husband, and even that wife that is never happy, it doesn't make a difference. You see? I mean, it doesn't matter who you're working with or what your job is or where you are, whether you're broke or whether you're sick or whether, you know, the whole world's falling apart. It doesn't make any difference. You've got a God. Now, don't forget God. Disregard everything else. Discount it. Don't count it. Don't look at it. Don't focus on it. Forget those things that lie behind. Move on to where Jesus wants you to go, which is keep looking at these facets. The first facet shows me that I can't do it. That's all that the law does, is basically says be perfect, and my only response to that is not hallelujah. My only response to that is I can't. I haven't. I won't. I didn't. That's all you can respond. And that pleases God, that you'll finally admit that you are not able. Apart from me, you can do nothing. All your righteousness, filthy rag. Man in his best state, altogether vanity. Now, that's all God wants you to do. If you do that, there would be no problem. Forget Jesus saving you and the Holy Spirit filling you. You don't even need to go there. Just simply take the first thing, the thing that the Jews learned that they haven't even gotten down to this day. The Jews are still stubborn today. How many know that Jewish people are stubborn? And they're stiff-necked. I'm just telling you what Moses said. Jewish people are stubborn and stiff-necked. How many know that we're not like that? So the first thing that the law does, because the law was not just given to Jewish people, it was given to Jewish people to share with everybody. The Ten Commandments should be on the wall. The Supreme Court is supremely stupid. I'm not saying that as a joke. I'm saying that actually literally true. They have become foolish beyond measure because that's the only standard for this world. And God laid it out clearly in case reason couldn't figure it out. And obviously, those nine men on the bench cannot figure that out. Is if you don't have a foundation, if you don't have an anchor, if you don't have something underneath you, if your laws are not built on God, you don't have laws. They are now arbitrary, they are now capricious, they are now cruel, oppressive, and tyrannous. So now we have a despotic kind of government that disregards the Ten Commandments. No possibility. It isn't because this nation is Christian, it's because this nation is under the law of God. You don't need to be a Christian nation to be under the law of God. You can be any nation. You don't have to know either Moses or Jesus to know that it's written on the heart, it's written in the conscience, there is a God. And that God ruleth in the affairs of men. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. All the land belongs to God. It doesn't belong to the state of Texas. It doesn't belong to the United States. It doesn't belong to anybody. I don't care what kind of deed you have. It is a worthless deed because there's someone with a superior title. That superior title belongs to God. It's in his hands. And it's a conditional title. Every power on this earth is checked. There is no such thing as unchecked power. Unchecked power is utter tyranny. But God even checks the tyrant. How many know that kings rise because of the Lord's pleasure and they fall because of the Lord's displeasure? So, though we vote in elections and though we do this and that, the truth is God oversees everything that we see. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And he's about to come back and take charge and call to account every king, every priest, every pastor, every rabbi, every holy man. He's about to call to account everyone that was a prophet, a declarer of the things of God. He's about to call all those leaders to account and say, what'd you do? Now, it all starts out with hearing. Hearing starts with the holy man. Prophets are appointed by God, the Father, who is our three things. God is three things. Though he's a loving Father, he is really three things. Number one, he is called the lawmaker. So, number one, God makes the law. He's the lawmaker, he's also the judge, and he's also the ruler. So God is our lawmaker, our ruler, our judge. So these three things, the same three that we've just talked about, these three things is what God's all about. Lawmaker, ruler, judge. Now, here is the king. I'll put a little crown here so you know this is the king. There are many emblems of throning. There are many emblems. Here's the little chair. And usually the guy that sits on the chair wears the hat. And usually he has in his hand a stick. That's called a scepter. And usually there's a little circle in his hand, if you study ancient documents and so on. Usually had a little circle which represented their dominion. So this power or this stick is over this dominion, meaning I have authority through this hat sitting on this throne to exercise this rod or this stick, which is my scepter, over these people. For example, in the United States, our laws don't touch Mexico. They only touch the United States. So you have a circle that only includes what's in your dominion, your house, your rule, your reign. But God reigns over all the kings. So Jesus is King of Kings. He's the King over all the kings. He has all authority, all power. So authority and power is given here. There are many kinds of authority, but this is political authority. Political authority and power. We also have religious authority and power, and we also have authority and power over all natural men. So in every way, God establishes everything, but here is authority is mercy, here is authority is the holiness, and here is authority is to actually execute or do the will of God. So a king has no other job but to execute justice. Because laws in themselves could be letter. When the letter of the law killeth, then equity, which is the same thing as justice, equity means fairness. If the letter of the law, for example, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. If the letter of the law is used to do harm to the people, here's us, me and you. Here we are, me and you. We're here. We are the beneficiaries of every law. We are always the one that takes everything as a gift. Everything that's done here, this is a gift, this is a gift, this is a gift. Everything on this diamond is a gift transparently cut in such a way that all you see is God, Elohim, the Creator, who is not only the Holy One, He is not only the Merciful One, but He's also the Almighty. So God, who is the executor of justice, which is exactly what the letter of law intended. In other words, this is the spirit of the law, this is the letter of the law. The letter of the law, when it says something, it doesn't change what it says. It just is the interpretation of it that always must be done for your benefit. If any word that I were to give as a husband, as a pastor, as anyone in any kind of leadership capacity, any word that I give has to be interpreted so that it comes out in your favor. In other words, if it comes out in my favor, if I build the church so that I can run off with the organist, of course we don't have one, because I ran off with her. No. If I ever use the church for my greed, so that I, you know, and pastors do all this, by the way, they run off with the organist and they have greed and they build egos. If I ever do that, then I am not God's pastor. I must always serve you, which is really a bummer. You know, that's bad because I have my own interests. But God says, no, you don't. I've taken care of all your interests. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of you. Now, if I have faith, then I'll just go ahead and operate and not worry whether I lose something or gain something because I'll trust God. That's a leader. A leader is a servant or a trustee that trusts the Father that appointed him to put him in the holy office, in the merciful office, or in the powerful office. Any one of the offices doesn't make any difference which one it is. Whatever it is, they all work together to display the glory of God. You are part of this kingdom, and everything in the kingdom is for you, for your benefit, for your pleasure, for your enjoyment, for your peace, for your prosperity, for your liberty, for your good. Everything that's done in the kingdom. All the laws are for your good. Now, here's what good they do. The first law is this: be perfect. Why is that good? Because you say, I can't. Then you're eligible. Once you can't, once you don't qualify, you're eligible for number two. You can't even get to His mercy unless you failed under His law. I came not for the righteous, under the law, but for sinners. That's kind of a remedial class, and that's why you're all here. I assume you're all here because you failed the law. I hope there's no one here who kept the law. Because if so, you would be Jesus. Because the only one that can keep the law is the one that did it perfectly, night and day, even before you were born. From the first moment to the last moment of your life, you must never fail even in one point or you have failed the law. I suspect there's not too many here except, you know, the pastor. That's about it. I don't know if anyone else has achieved that much. No, it's impossible. The reason He set it up was so that He'd get all the glory because He's a giver. The only thing He's trying to do is give you something. He knows you can't go the first way, so why did He do it? So you'd know it. So you'd be clear about it, that everything you have, your wife, is a gift of God. If you're a husband, say that to your wife. You're a gift of God. You're a gift of God. A perfect gift of God. I don't even notice all the flaws and the failures in you. I'm not even counting all of the inclusions and the fuzziness. I'm not even looking at that. I just see your glory and your beauty. In other words, I just see the hand of God that said, Jim, this is the woman I give to you. You understand? Same with the husband. All you wives need to say to your husband, you know, you are a gift of God. Go. Do it. I know I'm forcing you, but it's all right. This is good for you. It won't hurt you. It won't kill you. Say it. You are, what a blessing. I can't tell you what a blessing you are. Say it. We can hardly hear the ladies. Thank you, Peggy. My wife is the noisiest one. That is great. That is great. Of course, she's lying, but it's okay. It's all right because God understands. In other words, under the law, she can't say that. But under mercy, she can say that. Empowered by the Holy Spirit that dwells in her, she's able to say it because Christ is in her to will and to do. In other words, she really didn't want to say that, but I made her. That is, God, speaking through me, made her. Meaning, she didn't want to do it, but God did. Because that's the truth, and the truth will set you free. So this diamond is perfected by the cutting and the polishing that we spoke of last week. In order to make a diamond, there has to be a lot of hurt, a lot of suffering, a lot of chastising, a lot of dust flying, and so on, to polish that and then put it in its proper setting. Now, the proper setting for this diamond happens to be this ring, which is set upon you. You're going to wear this ring as a gift from God. Rings are not bought by the one that wears it. They're worn by the one that received it. So God has given you something, and what he has given you is all these gifts. For example, I'm a gift. I don't know if you know that or not. I look rough. You probably see me in my rough appearance. But actually, deep down, I'm sweet, nice, very faithful and good. But it's a gift of God. And so you have to acknowledge by faith what you can't see with your eye, that this rough, this diamond in the rough, is actually beautiful when the Lord gets done sawing, because you have to saw off all of these with a diamond, have to cut diamond. Nothing else will cut a diamond but another diamond. So something rougher than you has to cut you. Okay? Then polish you. And the polishing also is quite rough, because it's constantly going over you, abrasing over you until you're transparent, till there's nothing left, no sin at all. That's what this year is going to be about, getting rid of all the sin. We'll start on this side, I think, and then we'll get over to this side, so you're all right for a while. But we'll start on this side because our sister's already given a testimony that the Lord's already working on her, cutting her and smoothing and polishing her. That is to get all the sin, not out of the neighbor, the lady she worked with, but out of herself. How many know that always the problem out there is a problem in here? If I have a problem with the problem, then I've got the problem. But if you're in Christ, you're not in trouble, even though in the world you have trouble. But in the world, I'm not in the world, because I'm in the world, but I'm really in Christ in the world. And if I'm in Christ in the world, then I'm not in trouble because he's not in trouble. He said, in the world you have trouble, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world, so I'm in him. Now him who is overcome, I've overcome. When he died, I died. When he rose, I rose. And when he reigns, I reign. So every day I die with him under number two up here. I'll give these numbers so you can see how they work in perfect order. Number one is always God. God is, everything starts, Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim v'et haaretz. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Everything belongs to him. Number two, he gives us his holy law. First of all men have it written on their hearts, in their conscience, through their minds. And number three, the mercy of God is not known to all men. Moses then told us what all men already knew, but they didn't know what they knew. And he told it in such a way that all men invented religions which made holiness become unholiness. But when Moses wrote it, everybody had to repent and say, we didn't do it. So everybody's guilty, that every mouth may be stopped. The only reason that God said, you know, look, I wrote the law in your heart, but you didn't pay attention to it. Your conscience, you didn't pay attention to it. So I'm going to put it out loud. So I'm going to actually establish a prophetic office that will declare to the nations, but I'll start with Israel. I'll start with Israel. And I'll beat them to a pulp until they realize there's nothing good in them. And then we'll go on to mercy through the blood. And so the blood and the mercy is where the Spirit comes from, because the Spirit is the one that executes the law of God. That's why the Holy Spirit is needed. Jesus is needed as Savior. Holy Spirit is nothing more than Jesus as Lord, King, sending his Spirit into your life down here for your benefit. This is for your benefit. This is for your benefit. Everything's for your benefit. I repent, I believe, I obey. Here I repent, here I believe, and here I obey. Now all of this is cutting the diamond in such a way that it's perfectly set and I can wear it and walk in it and be led of it, but I cannot wear this or walk in it as a rough. I have to make sure that this does its work, this does its work, and this does its work. This is the finish, this keeps me going, and this is the beginning. God always starts with holiness. He always then uses mercy to keep it going, because you failed here, but he redeems you here, and then he keeps cutting you until you receive the Holy Spirit and are baptized, until you're mature. Now, most of you are not mature. Could I see a show of hands? Most of you are not mature. But that's not a problem, because God has his little saw to cut you. That's a wife. He didn't laugh. He has his a little abrasion thing. That's a pastor. And so on. So that there's no spot or wrinkle or any such thing when Jesus comes back in a couple of years. Jesus is going to come back and find his bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And it's not like that's a theory. That's really got to be the case. So we don't just preach the gospel. We need to understand it in order to do it. And not just want to do it. The Holy Spirit's in you to want, but also to do. And the do is not for the world to come. It's for this world, because when he comes back, he will say, well done. He will not say, well believed. He will not say, well wanted. He will say, well done. Because you will be doers of the word. You actually are going to be a Christian and not just want to be. How many know that that is a little far-fetched? But not so. Because God has his little saws, and he's going to cut out all those inclusions, all that grayness, all that stuff in you called flesh. By the time he's done with you, you will be a real small diamond, but you will be a diamond. You will be, because sometimes they make a cut and you have to throw the thing away. But the point is that he may cluster you. He may cluster you so that the bride is corporate. Do you understand? The corporation of the body of Christ is what's to come. I'm going to India in 2 weeks, Peggy and I. And when we go to India, we will be a minority. There, less than 5% of the population is Christian. Most of them are Hindu. Most of them are, holy cow, most of them are Buddhist. Most of them are Muslim. And so Christians are in a minority. You know, it's a blessing to be here in Texas, but you go there and, you know, nobody understands what you're talking about. So there's no way to go there and just declare the holiness without also declaring the mercy, without also showing the power of God, because those religions are power religions. In other words, they don't understand words. Words will not convict them. But words in the perfect setting, if the diamond is cut, and the words then have the mercy and have the power available immediately for the beneficiary, that works. In other words, India is being set on fire today. About 15,000 people a day are coming to Jesus Christ throughout India. This is not just in the Christian South where we'll be going, Bangalore, but also in the North, Delhi, but also in the East as well, Madras and other places like that. So we're going to all those places to speak just to the pastors, although, of course, there'll be others, but primarily to the pastors, to teach pastors how to... They have enough preaching, so we're not going to teach them how to preach and miracles and so on. How many know that in India, you got to have miracles or you don't have anything to say? They don't want to hear about a dead gospel. Now in America, we're okay with it. In America, people are, you know, interested in just words. How many know that that's a good way to escape is to go to a big church where the words go out, but there's no reality, or they're just a show, but there's no truth. Truth is deep. It cuts so deep. You can't make it through God's cutting process and through God's polishing process and set us without a lot of pain and pressure. But that's the best thing that ever happened to you. Until you realize you are nothing, but in Jesus you can do all. That's the your bank account ought to make a difference in a bunch of words. Making a to agree because they were willing real fuck to you women. That seems like so. You're wrong. Because you married that man. And you should have asked God, is it okay if I marry someone who's not complete? Is it okay if I get married before I'm ready? You see, the bride has to make herself ready. And it's important that she's ready, not with an unready husband. I'm ready. I don't know if he is or not. You know, well, if he's not ready, you don't want to marry him because you don't want to be more spiritual than him. How many know that men are stubborn? At least the men on this side. Men are stubborn. They're just stubborn. They do not want to be taught by their wives. And so the only one that can teach it would be Pastor Jim. And the problem there is they don't come. And so, you know, and you can't pressure them to come. They don't want to come, you know, because it's like, you know, I'd rather sit. So that's the kind of men we have. Amen? It's good. I like these kind of men because they're sawable. You can saw on them. Larry, you're one of those guys. We're sawing on you. Is it working?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can see how excited he is. The glory is just coming out. But it's all right, because that's actually his deepest prayer is not, leave me alone and, oh, I'm hurt. You know, his deepest prayer is, I want to be like Jesus. That's his deepest prayer. And if he drops dead right now and he isn't just like Jesus, he will have failed in God's program of bringing you forth like a precious diamond. You are precious in God's sight. He loves you and he wants you happy, not in the world to come, but right now. Today, Worship doesn't take place in the future. It starts today. And we're worshiping God in faith, no doubt. And we're giving Him thanks and we're giving Him praise. But what God is after is for us to be dead to ourselves, denying ourselves, lost in Him, so that we aren't keeping the law, but the Holy Spirit through us is. That is, Jesus Christ living through us is able to love your wife, love your husband, love your children, love your pastor, love your world, love your the nasty people at work and so on. You ought to be lovers so that you're happy all the time, 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 all the time. Now, how many do we have? How many are happy all the time? Debbie, are you happy all the time? By faith. Okay. Okay, that's good. And then no problem there. You just need a little more polish. A little more polish. Who else is happy all the time? I want to see how many liars we have this morning. No. Who is happy all the time? You are rejoicing, because here's the Bible. Rejoice in the Lord always. That means never not. To never not rejoice means you never can be feel sorry for yourself. You can never complain or gripe. You can never have a negative feeling or thought or be depressed. So, you can tell we have a lot of rough. We have a lot of rough here. We're really not there. But let's forget the women. Let's go for the men. How many of the men are ready to be cut? How many? I mean, eager to be cut. I mean, all the way. Let's cut. Like that. You know, don't spare. Spare not. Cut me deep. John, are you ready?
Yes.
It's good. He'll regret that.
He wouldn't say rejoice if he didn't think we could do it.
That's right. Exactly right, but it takes him to do it. You can't do it. You can say, I'll do it, but you won't be able to do it, because wanting to do it isn't doing it. Only the Holy Spirit can do it. And that's what we have to learn. That's why number one stays on there. The holiness of God works even after you're a Christian. We don't just repent to become. We keep repenting day in and day out. We die daily. We die with Him in repentance. We rise with Him in faith, but we reign with Him in glory, because the Holy Ghost is alive, quick, active, sharper than any two-edged sword, to cut through the word, to give you the right interpretation so that you can actually do the will of God and not just want to. So you will be perfected before the year is out. I'm sure there'll be no more sin. All right, who else? Who else is ready? You ready? Cut to the deep. Polish. Set. Beautiful. Larry? Yeah, a little better. That's the man kind of resistant way. You know, you can feel it. Danny, you ready? Amen. Any of you... You ready? Seriously? I mean, no matter how much it hurts, no matter what. Because you don't want your ego, your personality, and so on to come forth. Right. You want to live for others totally, worship God completely, love the brethren, testify to this lost and dying world even at the cost of your life. That's powerful. I mean, no, that's a beautiful testimony. I mean, we need a God. Because it's easy to say it, but who's going to do it? But God, actually, God wants you to say it so that He can embarrass you the next day, so that He can then say, now let me do it. Because you know what? Even your saying it is a gift of God. Even to say it is to have some hope. Is God, I don't know how you can get through me, because I'm hard to work with. Diamond is the hardest thing in the world to work with. You can't work with it with wood. You can't take a wood chisel. You know, you can't work with it with steel. Nothing will cut it. Only God can make a diamond. You understand? Only God can provide the hardness to break your hardness and to cut through you. So you can't help. You can't like say, well, I've cooperated with God. You know, you can't cooperate with God. You just simply believe. You just have to believe. It's just imputed to you. This is what I want. The only thing is not to resist when He comes. Don't resist or grieve the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so since that's your desire, if you don't make it, it won't be your fault, if that's your desire. It'll be Pastor Jim's fault. But it really won't be my fault. It'll be Jesus' fault, who came up with this idea in the first place, is to try to shape people in this world so that they would be dead to this world and alive to God. Not just praying to the Holy Spirit, but actually led by the Holy Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit leads, you don't get to have control of your life. Because He's like the wind that bloweth, and you never know where He's coming and where He's going. You don't know when you wake up in the morning what's going to happen that day. You don't know if you're going to lose everything or gain everything. You don't have any idea. You just have to trust God. You're not in control anymore. A man out of control. That's what we're looking for. I think we're doing pretty good. You ready? All right. You ready? Amen. It's good. How'd you sneak in there? That's good. Yeah, that's good. You're excited. That's good. It's powerful. This is not easy. By the way, for the rest of you who don't want to get out of the boat yet, don't. Just stay in the boat. Stay safe. Watch these guys fall, and then you'll know there is a God. Because when they fall, Jesus Christ will be right there to lift them up and say, you know, why'd you doubt? Don't doubt. I will perfect you. You see, it's not our obedience that's lacking, it's our faith. Do you really believe that God who saved you, that God that created you, is also the God that can sanctify you and live through you in this world, in your marriage, in your business, in your life, in this world? You see, this is the glory of God. The glory of the kingdom is not in the future. The glory of the kingdom is right now. The fact that you repent is a miracle. The fact that you believe is another miracle. And the fact that you obey is another miracle. This is what God is looking for, not a church that talks, but a church that actually does the will of God. That's why I go to India. That's why I go to Africa. That's why I go to Russia. That's why I go wherever I go. I always go to the worst possible place. I pick out the worst for one reason and one reason only. Because if God can't do it there, he can't do it at all. He doesn't need to do it in Hawaii, where I'd like to go. He wants to do it in a place that destroys your flesh, where you drink the water and you might die, where, you know, people shoot at you from the street. And so wherever we go, we always go where it's difficult, impossible, where it's not fun. There's no romance to it. There's no glory to it. And there's no self-pity either. You have to rejoice. And I'm not going to even tell you all the bad stuff that happens. Peggy will tell you. You know, but you know, it's not important because our life doesn't count. Let God perfect you. What is your life? You see? What is your life? What is your life? You see, your life is losing your life, you'll find it. Keeping your life, you'll lose it. If you keep your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life, you keep it. So lose it to Jesus. Say, Jesus, look, I've done a crummy job with my own life. My partner can tell you that. I've done a crummy job with my life. But you know what? You take it. For example, let's start with this. Joy. How many of you have joy unspeakable and full of glory? I mean, even in your sleep, you are joyful. You're joyful all the time. You wake up, from the moment you wake up, you spring to the floor. Hallelujah! You do that? It's good. It's good. Nick, do you do that? Well, not spring. Okay, not spring, but kind of slip out with your cane, and, you know. No. What I'm getting at is you ought to be so excited, even when you're unexcited, you ought to be excited about being unexcited. Because God has the plan. Your unexcitement doesn't depress God at all. He knows that. He's going to cut that off. But there ought to be progress being made so that you're able to stand up and say, I'm not improving, but I am dying quicker. I'm not improving, but I am dying quicker. In other words, I'm getting more cut off. So you're really not improving. You may, you know, other people may think you're improving. You may look more beautiful and so on, more transparent. But the truth is, you're just learning to die quicker to yourself. Because everybody here is proud. Everybody here is envious. Everybody here is lustful. Everybody here is greedy. Everybody here is. But all of those things can be cut away on this beautiful diamond until nothing shows forth but Jesus. The whole purpose of the kingdom is that you might be Christ-like, exactly like Christ. What was he like? He was the Holy One, our example. He was the Merciful One, our Savior. And he was the Lord, our King. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords is coming back, who never failed. Lost not one. Boy, this could be our life. This could be our testimony. You have a better testimony if your testimony isn't just about Jesus, but it's about Jesus in you. Nobody really wants to hear just about Jesus. They want to know if he's still alive. And he's not alive in another setting. The setting he's alive in is you. The setting that he wants is not heaven. He's already loved up there. He's got all the glory in the world up there. The amazing thing is that God could come to earth and get glory with us. Isn't that amazing? Can you picture yourself totally happy all the time? Never again griping, complaining, moaning. Can you picture yourself? You need to. That's what God's looking at. And, you know, not a lot of people believe that. They don't, well, it's a good theory. It's a good idea. It's a good concept. But I haven't seen anybody like that. Well, I know, but you could be the first. You could be the first. Be the first one on your block. That would be exciting, huh? Woohoo! You could be crazy. You know, people call you crazy. Gee, that lady's crazy. She's happy everywhere. She was in the elevator the other day and she smiled. You know, that would be depressing to the rest of the world because they're used to your sour face. Hello, can you feel the cut? Is you're used to being, you know, in other words, you're not sour all the time, but you save that when you want to pay God off. God, you know, you didn't come through the other day. I'm going to look sour for an hour. Any of you have that? Let's say show of hands because I have a feeling I'm losing a few here. I want to make sure these cuts work. You adapt your nastiness for when it's righteous. You know, well, I wasn't nasty all the time, but they deserved it. You know, no. God wants you to be happy all the time. Die to your flesh. Just stop living by your passions and your emotions and, you know, your mind and your will. Give up your will. Lord, thy will be done. Not my will, but thine be done. That's what it means to be like Jesus. Jesus gave up his will. He gave up his life. He gave up everything because he trusted God. And he knew that when the devil won, the devil would lose. And when he lost, he would win. I tell you, that is an incredible kind of faith. That even if the devil won everything, which he's never won anything, but even if he won everything, he would win nothing. Because you're in God's hands. Do you realize you cannot lose because you've already won? He leads us from triumph to triumph to triumph to triumph to triumph. He always leads us in triumph. Has there ever been a failure in your life? Absolutely not from God's point of view. So you must be walking in the flesh. Yeah, well, what my father did, what my brother did, my first husband, my boyfriend, you know. I don't want to hear about all that. That is a lie. Even though it's true, it's not true because you didn't regard that in the light of God. So God wants to remake you, reshape you, conform you, not to this world, but shape you according to a diamond pattern where all the cuts are made to bring out your beauty. That is the beauty of the Lord. Your beauty is to show forth Jesus and not your own beauty. You don't have any. Man in his best state, altogether vanity. You don't have any. You know what? All coal, all that is coal. All a diamond is a piece of coal that somebody put a lot of pressure and heat on, like that, and made it pretty, but it's in rough form. But God makes some more cuts, more cuts, more cuts, more polish, more setting, until it's beautiful. Let God make you into the beautiful thing you were created to be, redeemed to be, and now filled with the Holy Spirit to be. That's what God wants. Most people quit with number one. They just quit with the law, and they're just happy to say, well, I didn't do it or I did do it. So they're either proud or, depressed. That's it. That's the kind of Christians we normally have, is just number two type Christians. You understand? All they've done is, I got saved. That what they mean by that is, I got redeemed. I got regenerated. Yeah, but that's only the beginning. That's only the foundation. Where is the house? Wherein the Holy Spirit is powerful, where the Lord Jesus reigns. That's the Lordship of Christ. Where's that? So most people are just saved, regenerated, but then salvation is not just was saved, it's also being saved, and it's also will be saved. There's more to it than he who begins. Not he who begins, but he who endures to the end through all the suffering, all the pain, all the problem, all the difficulty. That's why I'm sent to you to be abrasive. I'm not sent to make you feel good. How many are glad to have a pastor like me? That is wonderful. It's just exactly, wonderful to have a pastor. Speak the truth no matter what. Don't care about people. Don't care if you like me, hate me, whatever. You'll change your mind anyway. If you like me, you'll stab me in the back the next day. If you hate me, you probably, feel sorry for me after you kill me. It's not a problem. I don't really care because I'm not doing anything down here anyway. I'm just telling you the word of God. First of all, I'm just declaring to you. I'm not even explaining it. I'm just declaring it. But I want to give you the perfect understanding. That's the best thing ever could happen to you. Is don't kill me, kill yourself. Don't kill me. I'm a gift. It's just like Jesus. You know, he came down to be a gift. And don't worry about it because I'm going to live as long as I need to live because God always sets it up so that Jesus never dies until he's ready to die. And I'm not going to die until my time. If it's today, good. I'm out of this place. If I live till tomorrow, fine. I'm going to serve the Lord. And if I live another month or year or 3 years or 30 years or 60, I'm planning on 60. Well, 55, I would like to live to 120. If I live to be 120, I just don't feel like that's enough time. But you know what? If I die the next minute, who cares? Because if I don't do it, and what I was going to do was the will of God anyway, someone else can do the will of God. Because after all, I'm not special. I'm nothing. You're nothing. You're not important. You're not critical. You're not vital. You're loved, but you're not trusted. Until you're mature. After you're mature and you're completely cut, that's when you get the setting and everything and you're able to show up in public. We're trying to keep this place hidden for a while. Don't advertise and let anyone know. This whole row, you know, they've gone and so on. But you know, don't really show yourself off yet because you're really not publicable yet. You hardly mention it. Take the thing off your car, you know, that little fish thing or whatever. Because people might confuse you with a real Christian, you know, and might be disappointed. And that's the problem today with the church is it's all blab and all talk, but there's no walk or very little. Now, thank God, the more he cuts us through holiness, the more he forgives us through mercy, and the more he empowers us through the indwelling Holy Spirit, the more he begins to show up. And we begin to show forth not our glory, but his. That's what it's all about. It's all about a kingdom and a king who's all for you. And when you're done, the reason you can smile is because you know everything that's happened to me that's been negative has actually been positive. Everything that's happened to me that was negative, I saw it wrong. Because my Father in heaven would never allow anything to go wrong with his purpose and plan. He has never been defeated, ever, and he never will be. And his blessing to me cannot be taken. No matter, even if I sin, that doesn't mean I won't get it. No, even the sin isn't a bother, just repent. So when you sin, just go, you know, Lord, I was proud. I'm a proud person. Debbie, would you say that of yourself? You would? Paul, would you say that's true of her? Yeah, man. Thank God. You know, she has a husband like you to take care of her. But you see, Paul is proud also. Amen? But you are working on each other like precious gifts of God because, you see, you're not perfected without Paul, and Paul's not going to be perfected without you. And the kids will be the benefit, and the grandkids, and the great-grandkids. They get all the benefit of how much cut and how much polish and how much setting is accomplished. And it's all to your glory, but in the end, God gets all the glory, and he just gives it to you. You didn't earn it. He gives it to you as a free gift. And that is, I tell you, that is happiness. Joy unspeakable. Who has that testimony right now? That's been happening to me, Pastor. I've just been beat up, I mean, bloody, and I love it. I mean, it's really working out for my benefit. Who has that testimony? Yes, yes, yes. Who else? I mean, you're beginning to enjoy. You see, it says, in the world you have trouble, but be of good cheer. In the world you have trouble, but be of good cheer. Count it all joy when you face various trials and troubles. You know, when you rejoice in the trouble, that shows you're being worked on by God. You belong to God then. I mean, why would the devil attack you except you didn't belong to the devil? Did you know why all the attacks are coming? That's the best thing could happen to you. If you're being attacked, that's a good thing. Why run away from it? All the churches in town are teaching you how to avoid suffering, how to get, you know, wealth and health and so on and so forth without any trouble, without any, you know, reward, without any risk. No. That's not God. God is, go through it. Don't go around it. Don't avoid the Moabites. Go right through. Are you hearing me? It doesn't make any difference. They can preach all they want to. You're still going to go through hell anyway. Or at least you'll be single. No. God set it up so that people don't work. How many know that all people are abrasive? Everybody I've ever met. If you had a cat, you'd be okay. If you had a goldfish, there'd be no problem. But if you get married to a people, that is a problem. Did you marry a people? Yes. Ma'am. You're the people she's talking about. She was just about to say, pay attention, you know. God wants you to be married to somebody who doesn't work so that you'll go to God. The whole point of somebody that doesn't work is not to fix them, but it's to go to God. It's not to judge them and criticize them, because with the judgment you give, you will be judged. You can't judge another because he's not working on somebody else, he's working on you. The whole thing is get you perfected first. Get all the log out of your eye, and then get the little speedy speck out of your brother's eye. That's what I tell Peggy all the time. She's always, you know, working on my logs. She's doing so much logging without permit. You know, I mean, she just wouldn't do it. You'll hurt the owls, those little owls there. No. Everyone work on yourself, you see. You have enough sin to make Jesus die. See? You don't need anybody else. So you're not, you don't have discernment because you can see sin in somebody else. Oh, I see the sin in you. That's no discernment. That you could be blindfolded and pick that out, you know. It's easy. So what God wants is, first of all, be happy. Forget about getting rid of all your sin. Just be happy. That's your biggest sin, is you're miserable. When you belong to God, when you're in His kingdom, you ought to rejoice. Just getting in with thanksgiving. That's how you enter the gates out of the other world, which was miserable. You live in the world. It's not fun out there. If you thought it was, go back out. Try to get your kingdom built out there. It ain't going to work. Only His kingdom is everlasting. This is a king who built a kingdom totally for you. He didn't build it for Himself. He already has everything. This is a gift to you. He could have wiped you out and made angels. He decided to work with you because you're dust. He thought you'd at least catch on. He thought, you know, you'd get a hold of that you're kind of a dust. Does anybody notice that? But it's all right. He can glorify dust. God, no, Buddha can't do that. Muslim can't do that. They can't glorify dust. Are you hearing me? Ours is the only God that'll take debris, dust, leftovers, bad stuff, crooked, you know, not right. He's the only one that can redeem. None of the others are redeemers. Buddha is no redeemer. The Hindu religion is no redeemer. None of them have mercy. Not one of them have mercy, and none of them have power. They neither have mercy nor power. So what good are those religions? They're worthless. They're blind. They're the blind leading the blind. That's why I go to India. Go to India to stir up trouble, to be abrasive, to cut, to polish. Will I be successful? Absolutely. Anywhere you go in the third world today, anywhere you go in the third world today, people are coming in by the droves. They just hear the word Jesus and they're ready to repent, they're ready to believe, and they're ready to obey. This is the only dead spot, Europe, America. The rest of the world today is coming in by the droves. 40,000 a day in China. 20,000 a day in Africa. 25,000 a day in South America. 12,000 to 15,000 a day in India. Everywhere you go in the world today, except in the accomplished world, the Western world, the free world, that's the only place where there's bondage. That's the only place where we've pretty much, you know, taken what we're going to take in with the kind of churches we have. God has to do some more cutting in order to get another harvest. He will. But the third world today is shaming us, meaning they're receiving the gospel. They don't even have a good understanding of it. But because of their negative life under those other worthless and hopeless visions and dreams, they know they're despots. They know that they're immoral, and they know that they're idolatrous. And so they hear the name of Jesus, and they come in. It's amazing to me how God is able to get glory anywhere He wants. He's just waiting for you. He doesn't want to do it without you. He wants to do it with you. He wants you to be included. Because pretty soon He's going to come, and everything's going to be thrown away. Everything will be thrown away except that which belongs to God. That which He has worked on, because He can tell, oh, I cut you there, didn't I? Ah, that's where I polished you. Remember I polished you on that Thursday? You know, and God is the one who's cutting and polishing and setting you and taking off all your rough until you're beautiful beyond measure. And He recognized you and said, this is My Son's wife. This is the bride for My Son. Perfect. She's perfect. Because the Father gives the wife to the Son. The Father actually picks the wife. Did you know that the Father chooses the wife for the Son? Jesus didn't pick us. He would never have picked stubborn and stiff-necked Jewish people. Remember, He came to His own, and His own received Him not? But He knew that. For the sake of the gospel, they're still under number two. The gospel's number three and number four. For the sake of the gospel, they're enemies of the gospel. But they will be grafted in this day. Right now, there are more people in Israel. And Ariel Sharon's death, or, you know, demise, or crippledness, or whatever he is, he's not going to make it. I know what's going to happen. God is going to put in a man that already knows about Yeshua HaMashiach. He's already prepared. Robert prophesied it to him directly years ago. Another pastor from Texas, in East Texas, went there 30-some years ago when Bibi was in New York studying to make money. That's all he wanted to do. A good Jewish idea. And he said, I hate politics. And the man said, Jesus Christ has sent me here from Texas to tell you something. You're going to be the prime minister of Israel. God, never be. I hate politics. I only want to make money. He said, when you become the prime minister, then I'm going to come and prophesy to you again, and Jesus Christ will become your savior. Never happened, he said. This is Bibi Netanyahu. Now, God is preparing Israel these last days. Robert went to him, and Charlie knows, Robert went to Bibi Netanyahu when he was the prime minister. He said to him, if you give away land, you're finished. Your job is over. He gave away the land, he was out. That's when Ehud Barak came in. Now, we live in such a day that prophecy is taking place right and left. The chief rabbi of Israel, Mordecai. The chief rabbi, he said to Robert one day, Robert is black, he's also a Gentile, certainly not Jewish, doesn't look Jewish, doesn't even know Jewish words. But he was in Simchat Torah, the greatest, most happiest, most effusive day in all of Israel when they dance before the Western Wall. It's at the time of booths or tabernacles, the last and the seventh and the greatest of all the feasts. And he handed to Robert the scrolls, first time a Gentile's ever touched or carried the scrolls. And he said these words, Baruch Haba, B'Shem Adonai. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Robert didn't even know what he was saying, but Robert, you know, he just started laughing and dancing. You know how Robert is, you know, yeah, hallelujah, you know. I said, Robert, do you realize what happened? The end time is here. Because Jesus said, whenever they say, as a nation, Baruch Haba, B'Shem Adonai, I will return to take my people. Now, the clock is ticking. We are seeing God rescue out of that nation over 130,000 people who live in Israel called Sabras. That is, they were born there. They're real citizens. They're not just interlopers from New York or something. They actually live there. Have accepted Yeshua as their Messiah. That means they look to Jesus, even though they're Jewish, they've accepted Jesus as their Messiah, but for fear of the Jews, they don't let it be known, but the government knows. So the government has told us, there's almost over 130,000 people right now who've accepted Jesus as their Messiah. We have Rami Danieli, who's there right now, and he is a tour guide among many Christian tour guides. In other words, he's a messianic. We were listening to some of his writings yesterday, and he's preaching Jesus as the Messiah, but he's a Jewish tour guide. That's his people, that's his land. They can't kick him out. But those people are paying with their lives to be polished, to be cut, to be set, so that when the Lord returns, Israel will yield up its remnant. Not all of Israel is Israel. You also are Israel. You were grafted in to the original plant, the original trunk, the Abrahamic trunk. But everybody who's of Abraham isn't of Abraham. Ishmael's of Abraham, but Ishmael, the firstborn son of Abraham, before Isaac, he rejected Abraham's religion, took his mom. His mother's religion is a religion of legalism, holiness, without mercy, without power. The thing that's wrong in Israel is there's no mercy and there's no power. If I were Jewish today and I had a sin and I wanted to get rid of it, what would I do? There's no blood. But without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. So how can Jewish people sin so they don't? If you ask a Jewish people, who has sinned? Not us. It's the anti-Semitics. And they will blame everybody but themselves. Do you understand? But that's wearing thin. And these days, a lot of Jewish people are beginning to say these words. Art Katz is one of the first. They're beginning to say these words. You know what? This is all our own fault. It's because we rejected God. So that's why he doesn't cover us. That's what I'm going to preach about this year, how God has not yet protected the church, put a wall around us because we're not his. But the minute we become his, after the cutting and after the polishing and after the setting, then he will set a wall around us and protect us, and we'll have the favor of this world. Right now we're losing the favor of this world because we no longer have the favor of God. The minute you have the favor of God, God will take care of the world. You don't have to get the favor of God. God will give you the favor of God after you're punished by the world. Now the world today is punishing the church because the church is full of hypocrisy. That's good for us. Best thing ever happened to us. We'll flourish during that time. Not doing so hot right now, but we'll flourish. Because I'll tell you what, people not looking for truth today, they're looking for anything but. But there will come a day and a time when people will hunt out to find the truth, and they'll travel the world over. We get letters all the time from England, from India, from all over the world saying, send us all your stuff. Because they want to know the truth. Because only the truth is going to set them free. And they don't believe this kind of American gospel of, you know, wealth and health and, you know, all this kind of stuff. It's okay, but it's shallow. It's not really the gospel. It's being conformed to the image of Christ, and you cannot be matured without suffering. Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. Not his good testimony, you know. Well, I'm believing for the goiter to go away. That's good. You know, that's wonderful. That's good. I believe in healing. I've been healed many times. I believe in healing. I believe in prosperity. I believe in all that. But you know what? That's not the center. The center of the gospel is for you to be remade. It's the holiness that God's after. But not the holiness that this world cannot give, but the holiness that comes through imputation, through mercy, and then actual through the indwelling Holy Spirit, who actually changes you. So that your will is changed, and your emotions are changed, and your mind is changed. It's renewed. We don't yet have new minds. I mean, no, you're not happy yet. I use happiness as a good example because that's really what God's after. Worship, worship, worship. Praise, adoration. I mean, unchecked praise. Just, oh, God, I love you with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength and my neighbor, everything. I'm just in love. And get out of this world. Stop protecting yourself and being safe. How many like this kind of preaching? It's good. It's cut. It's cut. It needs to cut deep. Let's have a testimony. Let's have a testimony.
I've been killed all year. You know what? Really, everything, I can look back and everything is perfect. It's wonderful. I'm glad everything happened exactly like it happened.
Amen.
I wouldn't change anything, and I can see.
Amen.
As I said last week.
Remember that time she hit you right in the eye?
Every time. I mean, I can see something going down now that I can see, and just sooner than I ever did, that, hey, though it looks bad, I know it's going to be good.
Good. Praise
and
God.
And I, you know, has really been in discipleship and everything else, and if ever anybody knows what it is, you know, I hadn't reached first base yet.
It's good. It's good. Yeah. I was going to say it, but I thank God that you saw that. Who else? No, it's a great testimony. Who else? Come on, this is what it's all about. It's not about talk. It's about walk. Who else? That's powerful. Whenever you have equally bad, equally good, equally smart, equally whatever, you won't have a divorce. Whenever you get unequal, one is smarter, one is better, one is prettier, whatever, you're going to have a divorce. It's not going to work. You can't marry unequal. You got to marry equal. Husbands and wives have to be equal before God, equally guilty, equally thankful to God, and equally filled with the Holy Spirit. That's all it takes. Who else? Who else? Yes.
The more sin that is being revealed to me, the more hope I have and the happier I'm getting.
Yeah.
And I don't get it, but it's working, and it's exciting.
Amen. That's good. I don't get it, but it's working. That's good. You don't need to understand it. Just believe it. Just believe it. Who else? Come on, there's some more of you. Speak up. This is good. It's good. TK.
The Lord allowed me to become nothing. I failed at everything, at relationships, my work, everything. And I'm so grateful. I'm really learning to enjoy failure because it just makes me look to Him.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you what a big nothing I was this year.
Amen.
And I can say that it's okay.
Amen.
And God will use that. I know He will, but even if He doesn't, it's
Amen.
Okay.
It's powerful. So, it's powerful. Amen. Don't regard that lady. She's nothing. All right. Who else? Come on, there's somebody else. I know there's somebody else. Jim, is it you? All right. Better be good.
No, but as you were speaking a while ago, you were talking about unhappiness, depression, and all this. And I thought, that's me because, see, I'm like Adam. My real problem is not my unhappiness or my depression or any of those things. My real problem is I don't believe God. And I'm like Adam, I indirectly blamed him by saying, you know, well, it's because of the woman you gave me. And so really, all of those things are just blaming God.
Amen.
So that's me. I'm just like Adam.
Yeah, that was you. But now that you're in God's care, in his hands, he's shaving all that off. He's cutting all that off, and he's polishing you. And the amazing thing is now you do believe by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not a work. It's just a gift. So you find yourself actually getting happier and freer, not blaming anyone else, but just praising God. That's powerful. That's why you're here. But you're not finished. Yeah, 2006, we'll get it finished. We'll finish all the men in 2006, 2007, we'll start on the women. So none of you women do anything. Don't do anything, please, don't do anything. Just work on the men. It takes a whole year. All right, have we got everybody that needs to speak up? All right, the best is yet to come. The best is the last. It isn't finished till it's finished. The Holy Spirit's the finisher. Jesus is not the finisher. He's the one that gets it going. He redeems. He redeems that which is lost so that the Holy Spirit can finish that was redeemed. So now he's finishing under the lordship of Jesus. He's finishing so that we look like Jesus when it's all done. The holiness was Jesus. Jesus is the end of the law. So 2 actually is 3. And 3 is actually 4 because 4 is just making us like Jesus. So the Holy Spirit does nothing but talk about Jesus. He never talks about the Father. The Holy Spirit never talks about himself. He never talks about the Father. He only talks about Jesus. The Holy Spirit has no references to the Father, even though he's the Spirit of the Father, because he's the Spirit of the Father, but the Father talks about the Son. So whoever would honor the Son honors the Father. If you want to honor the Father, you have to honor the Son. You can't go around the Son to honor the Father. You can't even go through the Spirit and become spiritual. That doesn't honor God. What honors God is going through Jesus. So Moses wrote of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit speaks of Jesus. That's why Moses said, "Thus saith the Lord." But now we say, "Hear what the Spirit saith to the churches." It's all for you. Everything is a benefit. That's the mystery that was hidden for ages. Jew and Gentile together. We are being formed today. Impossible job. We are being formed. That's the setting. The setting actually is Jew and Gentile. That's sad because it looks to the world like that's impossible. But we have a secret. It's not impossible. If God could work with us, he could work with a donkey. Did I say that wrong? You see, God knows what he's doing. And if God can get you happy, he is God. I'll tell you what, there's no God that could work with you. There's no God. There's no God. This is only for the true and living God to actually produce you to be Christ-like in this world and not just wait for the next world. You can't go to hell all the way to heaven. You've got to have victory to victory to victory, glory to glory to glory, joy to joy to joy, all the way, bringing their sheaves with them. We're already finished, are we not? Hasn't Jesus done enough? Isn't it finished? When he was on the cross, he said, "It's finished." I don't know. To me, that's worth rejoicing over. Creation was finished. Now redemption is finished. And the Holy Spirit isn't finished. But I don't need that to be finished because I've got all my joy in Jesus. And I know that he made a promise that he who began a good work in you will surely finish it on the last day. I don't need to wait for the trump. I already know now it's over. So that's why I'm joyful. I want you to be just as joyful as me. Will you do it? Amen. You're hard to work with. You really think you can do it? I mean, joy all the time. Getting up to go to church all the time. Just dedicate yourself to do everything you can to learn about God. To become just like him. Forget your life. Forget your future. Forget all that stuff. Just go for God. It's good. I just ruined his life. No, the best is yet to come. Amen? Are you ready? Are you ready? Don't care what comes our way. Don't stop looking at all that stuff. Trust your Father. Even if the devil won everything, which he never has, but even if he did, he'd win nothing. God can turn what the devil meant for evil, God can turn to good. What happened to Joseph? It threw him in a pit, then into a prison and everything. Everything went bad on the guy, went sour. All of a sudden, the next day he was the top of the world. That's you. Do you know how important you are to God? He cannot build this kingdom without you. He isn't going to make it just out of him and Jesus. He had that already. No. He decided out of his love to reach out and to make you as loving as he. That's the love of God. That's the love that's unconditional. That's the love that will reach out to the unlovely and say, "I don't care how unlovely you are a diamond in the rough, and you can be made beautiful as Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit." All right. God is good. God is great. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, we magnify you, because you are glorifying yourself in us, not apart from us, not just toward us, not just what you did in Jesus 2,000 years ago, or what you did in Moses prior to that, or what you did in Adam prior to that. But you're doing a great work in this day to finish, bring everything to a head, to a close, to a completion, so that your most glorious work has been saved to the very end. And now you're bringing us forth at the right moment, at the right time, at the right hour, in the right place. And I thank you, Lord God, the whole world is being garnished, gathered, harvested, brought into one. This is the finest hour we could ever have lived in. Nobody has seen the things that we've seen. There's never been an age like this age. We are chosen, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy people, all because of Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that we're not afraid of the Holy Spirit, and we're not afraid to tell you how much we love you. We're not like those that are holding themselves back. We're free. And I give you praise, Lord God. If you can cause men to rejoice, you can do what no other God can do. And if you can cause women to be happy with those men, you can do what no other God can do. And if you can cause us as a people to be set in a setting with stubborn Israel, then you can do what no other God can do. You are the king. You are the judge. You are the lawmaker. And may your law be correctly understood and interpreted so that your justice prevails and the glory of God is seen on the face of the earth before your return. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. His peace, his peace, his peace, his shalom, his well-being, his happiness, his joy, his fullness, his liberty. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen and amen. Depart in peace. See you tonight, 6 o'clock.